So let's look back at the scripture now. I'm going to read through it one more time. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Those two verses, I would like to tell you I have a life verse. I've got a bunch of them. I don't know if you're that way or not, but I've got several. But these are two that have been imprinted on my heart very strongly. I mentioned to you earlier about Jerry Stoller. Jerry Stoller is now home with the Lord. But when I was a senior in high school, he taught my Bible class. And day one, we walk in, and he said, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He said, these verses are the first two memory verses you have to have done by this Friday. And of course, being the class, like first day of school, come on, Mr. Stoller, really? You know, the oohs and the ohs and the ahs and all those things. And he said, now listen, he said, here's the deal. He said, these verses are very important. And we did a full study of them. But he said this, he said, at any point in time throughout the year, I will tell you to take a piece of paper and a pen out, and I will have you write these as a quiz grade on the spot without exception. He said, I want you to understand them. He said, I want you to know them. He said, I want them to be imprinted on your heart so deeply that you'll never forget them. And that brought all the more woes and oh my's and those things, right, as high school students. And he did that, man, through the year, probably about once a month, give or take, just randomly. He'd say, get out pen and paper, and immediately know what it is. And the first time or two, you're like, oh, wow. Like, I've forgot. I remember bits and pieces, but I don't remember them all. And then after the first couple times, it's like, I'm going to keep these fresh, right? I'm going to read these regularly. I'm going to keep them so that I'm ready for the next time. And to this day, I still have them memorized. And they have played such an impact on my life. And I'm so thankful that I had a Bible teacher that was willing and decided to challenge me on these. And I'm going to give you the same challenge. No, I'm not going to give you a quiz. But if you take these, you put them on a postcard or a post-it note, somewhere that you can read them regularly, and you study them, and really let God use them in your life. But let's just break it down. And for sake of time, we'll keep things rolling. But it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, here we go. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let's talk about sacrifices just for a moment. Old Testament sacrifice, what was that? It's a Sunday evening service, a little less formal. So, Old Testament sacrifices, what was that? I promise it's not a trick question.
Pure.
Is to purify, right? Forgiveness of sins. There are several different offerings. Absolutely. But with each one of those offerings, what had to be done? Was it a living sacrifice? There was something that was killed. Something's life was taken for that sacrifice. It was a blood sacrifice. Now, what changed between the Old Testament and the New Testament with sacrifices? What changed to where there was no longer that need for the blood sacrifice because of one ultimate blood sacrifice? Christ's death on the cross. I promise I don't ask trick questions. I promise, all right? The ultimate blood sacrifice was Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, being killed upon the cross of Calvary. That's the blood that was shed covered your sins, my sins, and the sins of all eternity going forward because of Christ's death on the cross. So that was what we call a blood sacrifice. This is talking about a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, here's how we're going to define it for sake of time and simplicity, is being willing to die daily to self. Did you catch that? It's a big phrase. Being willing to die daily to self. Here's what that means. That we're not concerned about our own personal wants, desires, or things of this world that we want to deal with. So what Tim wants out of life doesn't matter. What it means is I'm putting Christ first every single day. I'm willing to sacrifice, I'm willing to put aside anything that I want personally out of this world, and instead I'm putting what Christ wants for me and for this world first and foremost. That we're willing to die daily to self. What's that really mean? If we really want to narrow it down or drill it down, it's really by definition being Christ-like, which by definition is simply being a Christian. So if we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we call ourselves Christian. To be Christian, our goal is to be closer and to be more like Christ. Then we should be willing and we should be dying daily to our own selfish needs, our own selfish wants, our own selfish desires, and we put them aside, we throw them away, and we put Christ first in our life. That's what this verse is starting to talk about, that we're willing to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, what's that next word? Reasonable service. What do you think that means? What do you think it means by reasonable service?
Set apart.
Set apart. Absolutely. When we think about it, the reasonable service, the things that we're set apart from this world, but it's really the bare minimum of being a Christian. In our earthly self, we tend to rank things. Whether it's intentional or unintentional, we just do. It's part of human nature. To where we think, oh, well, you know, being a missionary across the world, like, that's way up here, right? Teaching Sunday school, that's kind of up here. And we kind of rank things in our minds. But really, a reasonable service is where we're putting God first in our life. It goes back a little bit to the testimony I just shared with you, to where we say, hey, listen, I am willing to do whatever God wants me to do. That prayer that I prayed when I was 12 years old, there's nothing magical about it. There's nothing overly special about me for saying that I wanted to do that as a young man. What it is a willingness to do what God wants us to do. Our reasonable service is serving God. Part of it is being obedient to Him, having that relationship with Him that we talked about this morning. Reading His word, spending time in prayer, spending time in fellowship, serving Him. What have we done for God lately? We always think about what, you know, what's people done for us, or what's God done for me, or I'm sitting back and waiting on the blessings because, you know, I gave my tithe this week, so now God, you've got to bless me. And we may not say that outwardly, but that's the inward heart that we have. See, our reasonable service is serving God. It's being in the word. It's spending time in prayer. It's spending time in service. It's giving of our tithes and our offerings. And it's really the bare minimum of being a Christian. It's just doing what we're supposed to do. That's our reasonable service. That's the benchmark from which all else needs to happen. Then we can think about things maybe over and above or that stretch pieces. For some people, reasonable service means being a missionary in Africa. For some people, reasonable service means making sure that my kids are taken care of and that they're learning the Word of God. Why? Because it's what God has called them to do. It's what God has for their life. So making sure that we are doing our reasonable service is that bare minimum part. It's not going above and beyond. A lot of times we think, oh, well, you know, I gave out 3 tracts today. You know, that's great. Or we think, oh, you know, I said amen during the service. That's great, right? And we kind of, we level set ourselves, and it's just not realistic. It's not practical. It's not a matter of doing above and beyond. It's about doing what God wants us to do. What God wants for each one of our lives, it can come down to one core piece, but on an individual basis, it's different. The core piece is a relationship with Him and serving Him. First and foremost, we're saved, and we're growing that relationship. And then secondly, we're serving Him, and we have a desire to see His kingdom furthered. That's the purpose of a Christian. Our pastor, Dr. Mark Campbell in Florida, whenever we had an idea, and again, it was a fairly large church, and so there was always a lot of activities, a lot of things that we would do, a lot of different pieces. And I consider him one of my mentors, always have for a very long time now. But he said, Tim, in this church, everything we do, if someone wants to bring an idea to me, because I bring them ideas. I mean, I was in charge of the college and career, so I had some crazy ideas to try to get kids focused and in and active. And one was a paintball field and just different things. And he said, Tim, Everything has to revolve around one of two principles, or both principles. First and foremost is bringing people to Christ, and secondly is the fellowship of the believers. Having brothers and sisters have fellowship together, strengthening that bond, strengthening that unity, having that relationship built. If we can accomplish those two pieces out of anything we do, then we're headed towards the right direction. And I've always greatly appreciated that and admired that in him, because that's the foundation. That's the reasonable service. That's the platform in which the church and everything else is built. Now look at verse 2 with me. And be not conformed to this world. There's a lot in those couple of words, isn't there? Let's just take a minute and be real honest, be real practical about it. Be not conformed to this world. If anything our society tries to teach us, it's conformity, isn't it? Just go along with the flow. Don't make waves. Don't be upset by it. I praise God for Christians that are in positions of power or responsibility that are willing to stand up and say, no, I won't do that. We have a friend, and I'm not going to say her name, who is a school teacher in the Rochester School District right now. And she's a kindergarten teacher, and she was just told that next year she has to start teaching 5-year-olds about transgender, alternative lifestyles, and so forth. And she stood up and said, no, I won't. And that's still underneath, I mean, it's obviously underneath a great, huge magnifying glass right now. But I thank God that she's willing to stand up and say, no, I won't do that. Now, that's a huge topic, but we need to be willing to stand up on those small topics as well. I share with you folks that I work in a secular environment, and there are some of associates that, man, they just like to swear like sailors, or they have bad attitudes or whatever, and there's times when I'll tell them, no, you just need to stop. You just stop. What's really, it's kind of cool to me, is when I share with people, not the fact that I want to be a pastor or any of those pieces, but just my belief in Jesus Christ, and I share those things with them, all of a sudden, their demeanor around me will change. You ever had that happen? Where all of a sudden, they'll let a swear word fly, right? And they'll look at me like a deer in the headlights. And I love that moment, not because of me, but because they're seeing a little bit of Christ in me. And they'll apologize and say, listen, man, don't apologize to me. Is it offensive to me? It is. But understand the reason why it is. That's more important to me, is that you understand why. It's not about Tim. And that's just a neat opportunity. But folks, the Bible tells us right here, be not conformed to this world. We can't allow the world to bring us in. Because if we do, it's the most dangerous trap we can be part of. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Look at the second part of the verse. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So be transformed. So don't be conformed to the world, but instead be transformed, or the opposite of, or the turning away of, or almost the repentance away from the world, by what? The renewing of your mind. It goes right back to verse 1. We're being that living sacrifice, being willing to die daily to self, being willing to have our mind transformed and opposite and away from the things of the world, so that we don't allow ourselves to be conformed and to be in the world or be part of the world. We're supposed to be in the world, right? Scripture tells us, be in the world, not of the world. In the world, not of the world. Why? Because we've got to make sure that we're staying transformed, we're not conformed, we're opposite. We have our stance on the Word of God. It is so easy for a church to allow themselves to be sucked in, and Christians to allow themselves to be sucked in and change our standards and change what we believe and change why we believe it, because the world keeps changing so rapidly. The Bible tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I once had a pastor say, and I'm sure it's not solely from him, but the eye or the mind is the entrance to the soul. Have you ever heard something similar to that? And it's so true. It's garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. And part of the Satan's lie is really what it is that, oh, we can do what you want through the week, and then you come to Sunday and it kind of gets cleaned up, right? I've given this illustration before to young people, and they usually kind of give me oohs and ahs out of it. But think about this. So one of the responsibilities that our boys have is to take the garbage out, right? That's something that they do. Let's say that for a week, they take the garbage out of the garbage bag, and they tie it up, and they sit it there on the floor right in the kitchen. The next day, they do the same thing, or every time that it needs done. Let's say by the end of the week, we have 5, 6, 7 garbage bags, right? We have a lot of trash, I don't know. But we have a lot. And then once a week, we take it out to the curb, and it gets taken away. Now, without being disgusting or gross, if that garbage has sat there for a week, what started to happen? Decay. Smells, right? It stinks. Probably the bags are going to torn, it's going to start leaking juice, and it's going to be disgusting. So you might take the garbage out of the house, but that stink is still there, isn't it? That residue is still there. Sin's basically the same thing. If people think that they can build up sin in their life every day or every week, and then they can go once a week or twice a week or however many times and kind of have the garbage taken out, well, that stink, that filth, that residue from that sin in our lives is still there, right? Why? Because we've allowed ourselves to be conformed to this world. Something that Liz and I are feel very strongly about in our house is fairly rigid on is what we watch, what we listen to, whether it be music, whether it be TV shows, whether it be YouTube, you know, anything to do with screens, Facebook, etc., where we're very rigid, very cautious of it. Why? Because I don't want my boys to have that garbage entering their mind. I just don't want it in there. Why? Because it pollutes. It leaves that residue. It leaves that stink there. So be conformed to this world, or to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If our mind is renewed, if our mind is stayed on Christ, if our mind is focused where it needs to be, and we're not letting the garbage in, we're not conformed to the world, but instead, we focus on what is good, what is acceptable, not acceptable to the world, not acceptable to us, but acceptable to Jesus Christ. How do we figure out what's acceptable to Jesus Christ? We're in God's Word. This right here has the answers. It's the answer key to what we deal with in life. Sometimes we've got to search it out. Sometimes we've got to study it. Sometimes we've got to pray on it. And God is always teaching me new things. I can go through passage of scripture that I've gone through probably a dozen times. Maybe I've preached it, maybe I've taught it, maybe I've done other things with it, and it's still new and fresh to me every time. I'm still making notes in my Bible. I'm still scribbling in the margins. I'm still adding things to it, not because it's changed, but because it's still God's Word, and it's fresh, and it's new, and He's still teaching me, and I'm so thankful for that. But it's that which is acceptable and perfect will of God. When we talk about the perfect will of God, that can be a very loaded statement. God's will for all of our lives, and I stated this earlier, is first and foremost, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? First and foremost is that all of us are saved. For God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Not for some, but for all. That's the first thing. The second is that our relationship with God grows. Beyond that, the will for us individually, the perfect will of God for us individually, it's different. It's not God's will for every single person, for every single Christian, to be a pastor, or a missionary, or a Sunday school teacher, or a music leader. As Brother Nathaniel mentioned, I love music. I am tone deaf. So if you're ever near me when I'm singing, apologize in advance. And for those of you who have a really good ear for music, just stay away. Just stay away when I sing. But I love music. I love singing. I love glorifying God. The boys will tell you, I make a joyful noise to the Lord, not to them. I'll belt it out, and I do it unapologetically. Why? Because I'm praising Jesus. It's just the way it is. You know, if you have a beautiful voice like my wife, man, everyone enjoys it. If you have a voice like mine, God still enjoys it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But the perfect will of God isn't for me to be a music leader, because it's not a gift God's given me. But God's got a gift that he has given every single one of you. The first gift he's given you is Jesus Christ, and then he's given you talents. He's given you abilities. He's giving you the different pieces in your life to use those gifts and abilities for him. We've had people before that have the gift of hospitality, and they just make you feel so welcome and invited, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the house, wherever it might be. But God's given you those gifts, and the purpose for that, the reason he's given you those gifts, is to do what? Glorify him. To give him the praise and the glory and the honor, and to use those to further his kingdom and to further his perfect will for every one of our lives. I'm going to do a brief illustration around conformity and the church and the world and where things have come and where things are going. And this is just a general piece, but they don't know I'm going to do this, so they might yell at me later, but that's okay. Sam and Caleb, come here real quick. Hustle, boys. Time crunch. Let's go. So we talked about the difference between the world and the church. We talked about conformity. We talked about not being conformed to the world. Now, when I say the church, I'm not talking about Bible Baptist Church of West Bend. Not specifically. I'm talking about the church really in America, the church globally. So we're going to pretend that Caleb here is the church, okay? And that Samson here is the world. He's going to yell at me later for making him the world, but that's okay. All right. So the church has always kept the world at an arm's length, all right, as far as standards, as far as expectations. So Sammy, move over, be an arm's length away from Caleb. Don't move. There you go. One arm, just one arm. I should have rehearsed this, sorry. Okay, one arm's length. All right, put your arms down. One arm's length. The church has always been kept the world at arm's length and say, oh, we don't do the things that the world does. We don't change our standards like the world. Look at the world. Look what they do. And they've always kept them one arm's length away. Well, let's just be real honest. Look at the world's changes, their standards in the last 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 2 years, 10 years. We can do whatever segment of time. But eventually, the world and its standards starts drifting further and further away, and we're going to use over here just basically as sin and hell, and the world drifts closer and closer to sin and hell. Let's say it's been 3 or 4 or 5 years, and all of a sudden the world has stepped away further from the standards it used to be. You used to be able to watch TV, and it was pretty clean, right? It was a decent program, whatever it might be. I'm not going to go into program names, but whatever it was. Well, then all of a sudden, the world says, we're going to make things a little worse. We're going to stretch things a little bit. We're going to challenge the mark. And then after a couple more years, the world says, we're going to go a little further, right? We're going to take another step a little further away from where we used to be. And here's what happens with the church. And this is one of the biggest dangers that the church, especially in America, can have today. And that is the church all of a sudden looks and says, put your arm out again. Oh, look, the world, man, it's way over here. You know what? It's time we change our standards. It's time we start being flexible. It's time we start catching up, but, you know, we don't want to be so far away that we're obsolete. Have you heard those lies before? Okay. And so the church takes a couple steps closer to the world. Well, I'm not quite there yet, but, you know, the world's still far enough away. You know, it's an arm and a half away, so I'm going to get a little closer. Little closer, right there. Good, stop. Put your arms down. And the church gets a little closer to the world's standards. A little closer, a little closer, a little closer. What's it doing? What do we read in verse 2? Be not conformed to this world. That's exactly what the church is doing. It's conforming to the things of the world. Now, here's what I want you to look at. Where did the church start? Now it's way over here. Who was standing in here 5 years ago? 10 years ago? That was the world spot. Now the church is standing in that spot. That's the danger that we face in America today within the church, greater than I think has ever seen in history. Why? Because so much conformity is happening. Now, again, I'm not saying that to bash this church. I've been here for 5 minutes. I'm saying the church in America, the Christians, and by the way, the church isn't the building. You've got a beautiful facility. The church isn't the building. The church is the people. And the people, Christians, are the ones conforming. All right, boys, have a seat. Thank you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, neither the things that are in this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's got a perfect will for your life. I can't tell you every part of it. I can't tell you exactly what that road looks like for your life, but I'll tell you, he's got one. He's got one. You may be walking down this path and you're very comfortable and you might say, hey, that's great. I'm wonderful. I'm in God's will. And that's fantastic. And God might say, you know what? This was my will for you, but now he's going to tap you on the shoulder. Say, hey, it's time to come over here. It's time to start a new ministry. It's time to be more involved. It's time to get serious about your relationship with Jesus. Again, whatever that looks like. But he's got that perfect.